Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome to the Mary Blake Show and our special guest, Donna Bell. And let me just say something. Donna Bell's story is on the don't miss out category. I've got to confess that a lot of the usual alien abduction stories just seem outlandish and incredible. But the energy, the information, and the self-realization that Donna shares is it's enlightening and just somehow reassuring. So if you've wondered about ETs, I'm not going to keep you waiting a minute more. Here is Donna.
Hi there. What you could say about me,
Donna,
I guess, is I am extra transformation. That's the truth. My relationship is with communities and individuals. So it's really fun to be on your show because to me, when I've gone into these communities that I've had the privilege with God to do, I have been able to see the most extraordinary transformations as I've had the privilege of teaching people that didn't know what they could do, you know, in serving their communities or their families or even
I know what you mean.
Without judgment. And so that, I didn't realize it, and I had mentioned this to you. I became an expert without even realizing it because I've been in this for years and years. Of going in and working in PTSD situations. And I've been really pondering that today, seriously, because I saw that PTSD is post-traumatic
syndrome.
Dysfunction, right? And I
it's amazing. Yeah.
PTSD, yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw that the work that I do is a new formula for. And that's what excites me. You know, because you could say that I'm a.
Pioneer, how's that?
Everything. Pioneer of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we could play with that, what those letters mean, because it's a gift. Even when we discover that there is PTSD, it's a gift because it awakens you to learning a new path that allows you to show up in remarkable ways through the strengthening and the blessing that it is.
Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And, of course, you know, I am also in the pioneer status because taking people into other lifetimes as I do, I feel the exact same way, and I feel honored and privileged, and with the transformation is so amazing.
Well, this is the thing, and it began with, I'll just say this real quick, I used to work with Werner Erhard, so that in itself is quite an experience of transformation, and created the environment in major ways for creating space for all of his businesses and all of his family and friends and yachts and things like this. My focus at the time that I brought to this whole thing was the aliveness that is there, that lies within space. And to connect my people that would go in and work in this capacity, to clean and connect with a space without putting their judgments, their things they worried about. That was one of the rules, is that when we went in to create a space, whether it be my cleaning company or whether it be what things that I did around Werner, it was not to bring our judgment, our fears, our considerations, or things we were working out. It was to actually clean in such a way that the effect of our work gave us a whole new reality upon everything that we could have ever had issues with.
Yes.
And because it was an alive space, and that's what it is to connect with this beautiful opportunity of order and relationship to placement and relationship to non-judgment.
Absolutely. I hear you. And it just rings so very, very true. The thought that occurred to me when you said that is that we either have a live space or dead space.
Exactly. That is exactly right. And what my community learns, so I'm CEO of Bringing Home America, and I've been a trainer of United Way agencies and community agencies, and my trainings have gone into HUD, and trainings have gone into working with people in a course room setting in such a way that we have the wealthy, the middle income, and the lowest of income and disenfranchised all in the same room. And by the time that we are through engaging with each other in pictures and realities and experiences, we discover that everybody has a closet to clean, just different And I know it sounds funny, you know, that...
No, I'm laughing because it is so true. That
uh-huh.
It's not I'm laughing at you, it's just...
No, I
it's
laugh.
Just that when something is that so true, and it's like a three-pointer in a basketball game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And you just take the shot. And the thing is that, you know, we have, the awakening for me in recent months has been that I really have been working within PTSD, whether it be inner city youth, whether it be inner city families, whether it be people that are wealthy. I mean, I've gone into the wealthiest of homes. And I have been able to be with them in a way that we could get to what the wounding was, which opened up an entire different world. And so there's wounding in all these different ways, and I'm going to be real bold. One of the places to see wounding is the way that everybody is in reaction, rather than, for one thing, it's kind of great that we live in a country where we can have this kind of response to no matter what government's doing. But in reaction, you know, and looking for ways to really drive up the reaction and blame and, you know, fear and drive our fears even more, we went into houses. I want you to know that they were the most serious conditioned homes. And we went in from this alignment of cleaning and specific principles of value. And that could have in itself, for some people, they were traumatized as they entered the house because they didn't know what to do. But because trainers were on hand, it was okay. And the thing that was so beautiful, everyone transformed because you start to recognize judgment flag. You start to recognize where these issues are that we've just never known. You start to recognize how the situations that we thought with the mother of a gang leader or the, you know, youth that are in gangs or, you know, how deplorable that is or anything else or whatever the story is. But you start to recognize that your own judgment that you have contributes to the situation.
Yes.
And that's a phenomenal thing to finally get because it actually frees all of us. And what we didn't know is that if you see someone that's walking down the street, that's a heavy individual, okay? And you start judging that. You know, like, oh, how could she eat that much? Or, oh, you know, how could she do that? And whatever else. And the thing is that it isn't about that. It is about being able to recognize what these issues are that
right.
are there in our society, and being mm-hmm. able to learn what it is to live inside charity. A charity for you and a charity for me and a charity for the ones that are the gift of being able to serve.
Donna, may I ask you right now, I think it's so important.
Yes.
What was your life like before you met Werner Erhard and then before you met the ETs? What was it like?
The ETs, meaning the this incredible transformational experts that I'm dealing with, because
exactly, yeah, and we have, but you know, we have to call them something.
Transformation, you know, it's
yes,
it's being engaged in transformation. I'm not talking
mm-hmm.
about any extraterrestrials, but I am talking.
Okay.
I kind of laughed about it, but I am talking mm-hmm. about the fact that. One of the things that I went through is my husband left me and my father died. And I did a training. And when I did that training, it was like my whole life came apart. But it was the best thing that could ever happen. And that's
mm-hmm.
what I saw. I mean, I had to go through a certain level of deconstruction to be able to start to recognize the clarity of my life and the clarity of where I wasn't being present, the clarity of where I was judging, the clarity of all these different things. And so I've always been, from the time I was young, I had a near-death experience when I was young that would change me forever. And so I have always had such a kinship and a heart towards people, you know, whatever
mm-hmm.
walk of life that they were in. And then it grew and grew and grew. And I really thought I was going to be a minister at one time, and then God revealed to me that my ministry would be in a very different way. Never thought it would be cleaning toilets.
Mm. It's amazing, isn't it?
Teaching people about space.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you one thing.
Talk about getting down to basics, huh?
That's right. That's right. When I've done courses, you know, in the profit side of the work I've done, one of the assignments is to clean their toilets, and I said, you think that you've been toilet trained? Wait until you go through this course. But I'm back to about, you know, when we can joyfully come together, and that's the environment of Bringing Home America. We joyfully came together. We discovered, whether you were wealthy, middle income, or low income, that we could support these struggling families, the ones that were buried in the conditions, the ones
mm-hmm.
that were in embedded poverty situations, the mother of the gang leaders. One story that's so gorgeous is this beautiful mother, she can't have us come in and be of support to her. Her husband's in prison. Her children, her youth are in gangs. But she goes out and she cleans with us. And she goes and serves everybody else.
Mm.
In less than 6 weeks, all three youth came out of the gangs.
Mm.
In 1 week, one of her children stopped another child from being killed. It was the most amazing thing you could ever imagine. And it was just, her heart was so recognizing the truth of this work. and committed to the serving, okay, that she would go through anything to be able to have that, you know, to just have it for herself. And then as she learned just small principles, and, well, they're not small, but as she went out and learned these principles, she brought them back, and she started to apply them in her own home. And her home was in chaos. I mean, a lot of these families, and I don't mean there's a judgment even with hoarders, okay?
Yeah, yes.
That
yes.
just has to do with a gift that allows you to start to unpack what these behaviors and attitudes are and where things got locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's fascinating when I've worked with, you know, quote, the way the world would call a hoarder, most glorious people, so vulnerable, so willing to go through it. It's difficult. There's no question. And the vulnerability that this individual was allowed her to heal generations and generations of family systems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that couldn't
Wonderful.
Have been healed if it couldn't be identified. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as we go into communities and work with them or work in the schools, because we've done things in the schools and have seen phenomenal results, and we're working on a project right now that we hope to have the money so we can be supporting areas in Washington, D.C., we've been approached about. But the thing is, so vital, is that as we go in, it teaches you so much. You know, we think, so oftentimes as human beings, we think we cannot make a difference in our community. So then we get blaming, we get judging, we get separating ourselves from each other, we get not being, you know, thinking that profit is the main thing. Believe me, profit really doesn't matter if you have everybody showing up eventually, you know, middle income and things like that, in a lower income bracket, because you're not going to have products that are being sold. So it's a
mm-hmm.
real good thing to join in a community intelligence. And that's
yeah.
what we discovered, community intelligence, with
mm-hmm.
the going out and serving families or going in
mm-hmm.
and speaking to schools. And when the thing that I found out, Mary, that's so wonderful is, all people, when people will move out of judgment very fast when they can actually discover that there's a way they can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing I saw. They were
yeah.
so much in judgment. They were projecting judgment, but they really were in judgment of themselves of being inadequate to the task of community.
Absolutely. I understand that totally. And it's quite remarkable. And it happens in my work, too. And my first admonition to people, and they want to be able to do something to work, and I said, your job is to not think.
Yeah.
That's the important part. Don't think. Do not think.
So say more.
When they think, they destroy that thread, that amazing separation between us and spirit, and between us and other people, and between them and the people around them, and the potential and the possibilities of what can be.
Okay, now
because
I'm going to turn this,
okay,
what you're saying,
go.
Into a very simple way. When you have someone playing a sport, okay, so first I'll talk about golf. If you think golf, you will not win the game. The
mm-hmm.
way that golf is, you have somebody, and I'm not a golfer, guys, but I want you to know, if I'm telling it wrong, because it may be ancient history, but they used to go out and walk the grass the night before and then be able to tell the golfer, you know, the way the grass was laying from the moon and things like that and to do, okay? But
mm-hmm.
with all that information, when the shot is taken, the only thing that allows the winner is the degree to which the golf club and the ball connects at the right angle, and that
mm-hmm.
is through the element of space. It's a feeling that you get. And when that feeling comes upon you, you can experience what that space is. And then you'll feel the guidance and you'll take the shot. Now, in the same way in basketball, you are looking for that space as you're playing the game. And you've got to know the distinction of space and placement, space and movement, space and... But we as humans have lost connection with this reality about allowing for space. And when you fill it with all these thoughts, or you fill it with all these things that are not really lighting you up, and that's what we found out in the houses. When you do the work, and it's a massive work. You know, I mean, we're talking 15 to 30 people going into a house. When we do this
yeah.
work, what is so gorgeous is that you can't think your way through it. It's not a person making choice of what they think. They're learning a whole different pathway of how to relate
right.
and let go.
Sure.
And I just wanted to give that because, you know, that's a physical example of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we naturally
mm-hmm.
do it, but we don't know that we are doing it, and we don't know how to be able to live within it.
Yes. That's really important. And we in our mind, we need to make space for the transformation. In our heart, we need to make space for the transformation. In our whole being, we need, in our spirit, we need to expand to allow us, ourselves, to be as big and as wonderful as we truly are.
Right.
Otherwise, you might as well live in a locked dungeon.
Yes. But it's not, what I want to say, let's go back to politics, because some people's minds a lot of time. The thing of what's showing up is allowing us to be able to recognize that the ones who haven't voted may really want to turn out on this election, okay? It's the opportunity to start to see where the woundedness has been in America. It isn't the reality.
Uh-huh.
It's just an actual release occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you can see something, whether I be in your closet, and we recognize a generational pattern that has been holding all this fear in place for all these years, okay? The moment
mm-hmm.
that you can recognize it, then everything is deconstructing on behalf of you rapidly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not that you may not have pain about letting go of that one thing, but here we are as America. We're recognizing the fear that's coming up in people and the drama and the, you know, and all these attitudes and behaviors. And it's in an expression of passion, okay? But we don't know that our passion has taken a turn of blame, judgment, drama, you know, driving, separation, you know, that kind of thing. When
yes.
we can actually see it for what the clothing is on the, well, remember the, what was it, the story of the king, and everybody was raving about him in his clothes, and then the one little child says, isn't he naked?
Yeah, the emperor is naked, yes.
Yeah, the emperor's
absolutely.
Clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
But it's so great because each thing, no matter what the trauma is, whether it's the trauma of what is showing up, you know, of people and fear and things like this, or the trauma of veterans coming back from war, or the trauma of people in the houses. It is a trauma. The thing is, though, it's also a gift. It's an energy robber, it looks like, to the community, but it's also an energizer, because as we gather collectively and go in and serve and learn to serve without judgment, what we saw was the people who were coming in were doctors and lawyers and individuals that were nurses. I mean, we had all different groups going in to clean the houses. And as we go in and clean those houses, these groups, all of a sudden it becomes the most natural avenue to want to be able to do things for the people. So a dentist who went in and worked with going in and cleaning the houses with us, he just suddenly started giving free service instead of going across the country. He started giving his dental service to the people that were in need that he was personally getting to know by going in and cleaning the houses. It unites everyone. It really does. Done this for years.
Yes, you know, it seems sometimes people who lose so much, what they will do is they will gather things around them, and usually they're not even nice things. They're just things. They're like something that's holding them together, and they have to fill up the space that the thing they lost.
Okay,
whether
let
it's
me tell you
physical?
Something about that. I'll tell you
okay.
something. This is what
okay.
I discovered. It was they had lost so much control, okay? An individual can lose so much control in the tyranny of the moment that they'll hang on to things because that's the one thing that they can feel control about.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yes.
And it isn't that they love them. It's just
it has nothing to do with loving them
or even
enjoying them or liking them or feeling comfortable with them. It's just that they've got to fill that space.
Right.
And if it's an emotional space or if it's some kind of a truth space, it's impossible to fill.
Right. Well, and the thing is, what's so gorgeous about working in the physical environment is that it allows you to be able to, when you're trained in these principles, it allows you to recognize where the generational patterns that have been unconscious in the family are. It allows you to be able to actually take action in an immediate way. And it's that action that gives such space, you know, as they go through the letting go. I want to share one other really remarkable story. A woman, after we got through, well, it wasn't recently, so I'm going to talk this in the past, but after we got through cleaning, what happened is that she was feeling a value in herself that she never had. And I put my arm around her and I said, "Tell me, feel into the space now. This is your space. This is really, tell me about it. Tell me who you are now." And she couldn't talk at first. And I said, "It's okay.
Sure.
Let's just kind of walk through this." And as she talked to me, all of a sudden, she began to get lighter and lighter and was recognizing what her bedroom had become, not what she always was reinforcing, you know, of the dark side for her. And as she did that, as she did it, I looked at her and I said, "Tell me, if you could be anything in the world, if there's something you could never tell anyone in your life that means so much to you, would you tell that to me now? It's just between you and I." So she told me. And what she told me was that she had a desire, but nobody would ever imagine this, okay? Her desire was to be a composer. Mm-hmm. Within a year, she ended up entering into very special kinds of contests and become the second runner-up in the composing work. And, I mean, it was really a high level.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's enormous.
But see, it wasn't that she set out to get it. She had the space to receive it. So this work, you said before, there is a dead space and then a live space. And science says that space now, it took them years and years and years to know. I knew it long before, I'll tell you. But space, the dark hole is teeming with life.
Of course.
So that's confirmed by science. When you work within these principles, you come to recognize how alive space is. And when you can recognize what these worlds are, they are truly worlds. They're worlds connected with beauty. They're worlds connected in a very divine order of existence. And it's really about human beings being able to connect in their existence now, because we've been separating ourselves from the existing of others or countries.
Absolutely.
In the same way.
No question about it. Yes. It's that illusion of separation, because there is no separation except what we imagine and we conceive and we believe is there.
Right. Right. And the thing is that when the other thing I experienced as we went out into the houses, the spirit spoke to me very strongly one night after some really strong cleaning of homes and being with large groups all day and all of that. And what there was said to me was, if you will go in behind the doors of America, you need not have the earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to, I did go through a death experience 10 years ago. And I have memory from that. And something that I experienced very clearly was how the emotions set up the dramatic conditions, how Mother Earth is there to force us into our emotions, whether it be tsunamis, whether it be, you know, how we go around and we say, my house looks like a tornado hit it, or don't come in, it's an earthquake. But that's no pity. Because when we continue to bury those emotions, then we eventually are going to be forced to experience the emotions. So that was the thing I had to come to understand from my death experience, is that Mother Earth responds to force us if we aren't operating from choice with each other to reduce the earthquakes and tornadoes in our spaces. Because our emotions get dumped into them and held in place.
You mentioned a death experience. Could you talk a little bit about that?
I had a beautiful experience that stays with me now. I'm not one that went through something and then turns around and comes back and talks about, you know, oh, you know, the evil of this world and all that. What I experienced there, I'm able to be with people in a way that they can experience it here. I'm not saying we don't have the contrast and the, you know, the kind of entities that can affect people and things like that. I'm not saying that that isn't there. But what I am saying, there is a world that exists that we've been very disconnected from. And and I had the privilege, and I asked God after I came back, why is it I don't end up with the same story that everybody else has about how wonderful it was there and, you know, the way it is here? You know, that there was a sharp contrast to how it is here versus what they experienced in the heavens. And I don't have the contrast. And what was explained to me is I've done a lot of personal growth work in my life and accountability for myself. And I don't mean that as an ego. I mean going through hard times, going through, you know, things that would shape me and help me to understand, you know, the areas I needed to clean up and
absolutely,
you know, all those things. And
I
and
know
so,
exactly what you're saying. In other words, they give to you from the level that you are able to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't try to teach quantum physics to a kindergarten child.
Right. And yet I came back knowing a new quantum.
Okay. There you go.
But see, mm-hmm. because of that, and simple, it has to do with principles that we saw it operate in the communities, okay? Here's what I mean by
mm-hmm.
quantum. We would gather together, sometimes as many as 500. This is in the past, and when I gather with people, I just did something the other night, and so when you gather together in this group, what happens is that the kind of things that we see when we go into neighborhoods is we don't tell anybody. People gather. We learn what we learn to get to that equalization, ground zero, without judgment, and just appreciating each other, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then we go in. What we see often is before we go into the neighborhood, people do not know we're coming. And when we come into the neighborhood, we suddenly see that other people come up to the door of where we're working, and they want to know what we're up to, and then we tell them, and then they'll say, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I've been up to. I just didn't understand why I was cleaning. I didn't know you guys were coming. And so that's the kind of thing that we see.
Somewhere in the cosmos, it's already begun.
It's amazing because when you go into a course, I've had leaders in my courses, and I've said, you know, just be aware that people 3,000 miles away from you and your family may just start cleaning. And they won't know why, and that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And because what happens is when you reach that level of non-judgment, it shifts a core thread of what's going on around you or what you're connected to. Because
mm-hmm.
you're no longer in the judgment, the generational patterns, the family systems that have always kept you locked in place. And so when those unravel, then all sorts of things occur within the space because they're not filled with all those holding false identities, false judgments, false, you know, accuracy
yes.
about each other.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And I know every day we experience something like that. You're inspired, you get up, you clean, and you just make it immaculate in your living room, and you didn't know these people were coming.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You're just tuning in and responding. That's what you were talking
mm-hmm.
about in the beginning, was that response.
Mm-hmm. And you, when you feel that you have been transformed by this great influx of knowledge and spiritual awareness that you've been gifted with, what is that like for you?
I went through 5 years of complete trauma. I couldn't. It wasn't a lightning bolt. I had to recover. I had to go through so much pain. I had to go through, in the very beginning, coming out of a coma, not being able to talk, having a hard time walking in any way. And it took me a year before I could even get to a pool and start exercising. So it.
But how
not,
did you get into a how did you get into a coma? What caused the coma?
I had
what?
systemic blood systemic blood poisoning and double pneumonia.
I see. Okay.
That caused my death experience.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, you think, oh, a death experience. No, it was a five-year recovery that would teach me what was being spoken to me on the other side.
Okay.
But I couldn't make it happen. I couldn't
okay.
make anything happen. I had to surrender to the truth
yes.
of what these principles were.
Would you call yourself, before this happened, a very strong-minded person?
No, I would call myself a very spiritual, centered woman.
Okay.
I was never a make it. I didn't force things, but
mm-hmm.
I was. Okay, so here's what I would say. I was on the plane, and I was on top of the world. My company was really being recognized and growing, and I had trainers stepping in, and everything was everything I could dream of, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I get
okay.
off the plane, and I go into a coma. So what I learned when I came out of the coma was God laughs while I plan.
Sure.
So I, if there's one thing, I mean, I knew it before, but then when I thought it was going, the train was going in a certain direction, I was getting excited. But I realized you can put yourself on a track, but the guidance can take you off that track. And it
Absolutely.
Really is. It's really the ability to listen, and that's what I had to learn in recovery for 5 years. And that's what I've been able to bring to everything I do in Bringing Home America, because I don't force anything. I know the gift that this is for communities. I know this gorgeous intelligence that lives among people. And I'm just here to be able to share that message and have people be able to want to gather and start doing this. In a virtual way, because the one thing I was told after I came through everything of the 5 years was I was to design everything. I was to gather a team and design everything into webinar form.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I could be able to lead people by, you know, 1,000 people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously, I mean, the Lord totally was teaching me some things that were very profound about putting together all these systems. And all I can say is I woke up into a new world, and I was not a person of computers much, and I definitely was not a person of webinars, and I had to learn everything.
I see. Uh-huh.
It's been a technical world that I've had to wake up to, which has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So the and I love it. Anybody who's listening, I want you to know, it's like if you ever, when you're older, resist devices and things like that, they're gifts. They're better than doing puzzles. And I just find when I'm willing to accept the world that's around me, not resist it, I end up experiencing more passion, aliveness in myself, my relationship with people, the things that I do. I mean, I came back being laid down for 5 years, and during the last 5 years, put together everything that was asked to put together while I was working on different projects or working with inner city individuals and things like that.
I see.
So,
mm-hmm.
But I had to, I mean, it. When I look at it now, I have a big smile on my heart and face. The first 5 years, it was difficult. I have an immense clarity of what it takes to live through circumstances and
mm-hmm.
to trust the space and to trust how my body would guide me. Because you can't goal set a body when you come out of a coma. You can't goal set a business when you come out of a coma. You
That's
can't
for
even
sure.
goal set your healing when you're coming
mm-hmm.
out of a coma.
Yeah.
So I just gave it all up. I just knew that all there was I was in the listening. In the same way, it's very interesting, when I was on the other side of my death experience, I listened. I didn't talk. I listened. I experienced.
I understand. It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Totally
and
amazing.
Living world. We have living worlds all around us. And they're so glorious.
We do. We really, really do. And it's... people try to name them. People try to pigeonhole them. People try to corral them and put them into categories and set up standards and rules and obligatory things that have to be done and requirements in order to be acceptable for it. And it's all such nonsense, such a waste.
The Lord, you know, I mean, I'm a woman of Christ, okay? And other people are God, but I tell you, when I go out and do this work, I'm not religion. I am working in a way of listening to the design itself, to how to support the people, to teaching people how to be with others without judgment and how to create an environment without judgment. For others to be able to feel that. And when that happens, it is, it's a glorious denomination. I mean, it's I'm talking about almost like mathematics. It's like you start to recognize what the different formulas are. What we're talking about is diversity. And diversity is such a gift. And the diversity, see, I don't see having our precious families, these wonderful low-income struggling families, disenfranchised families, PTSD families, they're all PTSD to me because they got stuck in the tyranny of a moment, okay? And then they couldn't quite come out of it, and it just kept spiraling down. Well, each and every one of us have that probably once a day. You know, and we pull ourselves out so fast we don't even notice. But in the individual's case, in the family's case, they didn't know, and they may have been members of a church, but they felt so judged they leave the church. And I just see that, like I say, there's this beautiful thing I learned in a training one time with Eben Pagan, and I really appreciated it. And what it is that energy robbers are energizers. And so when we can be learning from these families in destitute conditions, can you imagine when you go in and you clean with 30 people that you've never met, or 15, let's say, you go into a house and you clean, and you're not there clean the house impeccable. You're there to keep creating the space for the person to be able to feel the value and the clarity of themselves and start to be connected to their own experience of value in their environment, in an environment that enriches and uplifts them.
Mm-hmm.
That they can step in and continue to keep being supported to have that. And when that happens,
right,
everybody wants to go home. After we're done, there isn't one person usually that doesn't go home and clean our home at a whole new level.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So it's nothing
in a whole different mood and reason and a different world.
Yes, and the thing is, you're talking about when we go into houses or go into schools or anything, it's a laboratory situation for experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that all of us are gaining what the alchemy of the moment is for each and every one of us. Does that seem a little too far out, or can you get that?
I get it perfectly. And I'm getting a feeling that there are others who are also getting it.
I do, too. I do. And
I
know this is an unusual show, the way we've started out. But I just want everyone to know that it isn't just about hope in America. We roll up our sleeves and we go in. I can promise you that for every dollar you invest into bringing home America and supporting this work into all the different communities and with the youth and things like that, we're going to get a $150 return on every dollar. And the reason why I say that, I know it's been proven at $36 level, okay? But I know ours is higher because of the level of the people involved. Giving of carpet, handing over cars, you know, getting them a job immediately. Besides, you have the space, which is teeming with life, and all of a sudden, all these random happenings occur. One person we go into, they haven't had any kind of a possibility of a job for 10 years. Been on welfare the whole time. Before we got there to clean that week, her husband has offered a job. And that's what I mean. The magnificence of the richness that occurs in our community. Government is meant to serve our communities. We're meant to be strong in our communities. And as we go in and we serve each other, these families won't have to be on welfare. They'll be able to rise up because they feel the value. And here's a real mistake to me anytime I hear this. When people say, oh, you just give them a job. Just get them a job. Get them a job when they have their teeth rotting in their mouth. Get them a job. You just get them out there and you just, no. You tend to the needs to have them feel good about being able to have the job because they'll keep it.
Yes, yes.
And they have an intuitive nature about them. So getting a job may be that the woman does beautiful burritos and she's suddenly selling them in her neighborhood because she has awakened to that value and that intuitive nature of the beauty of who she is. And so get a job isn't the factor.
So it's an unfoldment rather than sometimes you make by giving somebody something, you take away from them. You take away from their self-esteem. You take away from their sense of pride and their ability to take care of themselves. You make them feel weak and helpless. Does that
make
sense?
Well, and there's another thing, but people have that belief when it comes to welfare. And it isn't that. It's just that people haven't known. All they know is to have them be on welfare. But if you notice the structure of welfare, it's designed for them not to get off. It's designed, in other words, the minute you start making money, they start subtracting it.
Absolutely, and you wind up. You get a job, and your income goes down, and your style of life, and your way of you can live goes down.
Exactly.
And this is wrong.
Well, and the thing is, but even the people that devise that, it's kind of like I don't have any judgment about anything. It's like they don't know any better than what they devised.
Sure.
And they give
the space that they occupy.
Right. I mean, the people that are designing the structures and stuff, they're not doing it deliberate. But it's a wake-up now. And what I saw just over and over again, you know, dentists taking care of the people they were serving. Someone comes out and is in the cleaning group and they have a carpet company and they end up putting carpet in. Another one was a National Businessman of the Year who has gone out with us. And that is amazing because what he does is he became so inspired. He goes in and pulls up the carpet and discovers that there's wooden floors. And sand.
Yeah.
And the thing that's so cool is it's also the opportunity, which is very interesting. People will come out into the houses. And the things that we've have done and do, people come out into the houses and they end up actually participating because they can't help their family members. They've never been able to relate, never been able to communicate in a way. And some of these have been leaders, you know, well-known people. And they could never, even though they may be a leader of organizational business in the world, but they can't help their sister.
Right.
They're not able to reach that level. And so, and one more thing about it with people. We look at people like they need to have this. And that is of no service. We look at people, when I went into agencies and things, I helped them to realize we're not here to help. That's good. I supported them to realize that we're not here to help. We're here to listen to the dignity of who these people are. We're here to serve in the ways that will make a difference. But help is kind of like still on the lower scale. We're not coming from the dignity of the human being that's the gift to us.
True.
Donna, well
forgive
them.
Me.
Yes.
Forgive me, but we're coming toward the end of our time, and we need to give people a way to get in touch with you.
Okay. So Bringing Home America, B-R-I-N-G-I-N-G, Home, H-O-M-E, America, yay, .org. Okay, bringinghomeamerica.org. Email me at bringinghomeamerica@gmail.com. There is a donation area on the site. There's some things that are from the past. There's other videos that haven't gone up yet. So just to let you know that. A good area to go into is to click on the About and read Donna's message first off. And I'm just here to facilitate each and every one of you being able to be so supportive of the healing of your own community. And it's mayors, if you're listening, there's some answers here to not having to give tickets to hoarders in neighborhoods and having neighborhoods collapse. There's answers here. When you clean up the homes and the neighborhoods, the gangs leave. So bringinghomeamerica.org. You can reach me at bringinghomeamerica@gmail.com. Donna Bell.
That's great.
And
303. That is absolutely wonderful.
I'll give you a number. 303-499-7788 is the Bringing Home America number.
Repeat.
303-499-7788. 888, Bringing Home America.
That's wonderful. You have about 1 minute to say something.
Well, just that we have PTSD in America, and we can turn those letterings into, you know, tremendous opportunities for everyone, whether it be veterans, whether it be families in trouble. Everyone has a tyranny of a moment, or everyone has a closet to clean. And that gives you a tyranny of a moment.
It certainly does. It truly does.
I so appreciate being on, Mary. Thank you very much.
It has been a gift, and I feel that it's an opportunity to open, for America to open its heart and to be as great as we really are. Thank you.
I love hearing that. Thank you so much. I agree.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
So are we up?